Recording started.
All right, as always, we begin with prayer request. Does anybody have a prayer request? I just got a email from a friend I went to school with. We graduated together, and her dad's been battling cancer, and he had been doing better, but went to the doctor today and didn't get a good report. He's got to start chemo again next week, and the doctor said it would be a very, I guess, aggressive treatment this time. So keep him in your prayers. Our church is having vacation Bible school tomorrow. And I just pray there's some seeds planted in some young hearts. I know there's always some children there that don't go to church on a normal basis, or regular basis rather, and I just pray that we can get across to them, plant a seed that'll grow in their heart. No other prayer requests? Bow with me in prayer, please. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the good day, and we thank you for all of your many blessings. We thank you for this group that's come together for Bible study tonight. I just pray, Lord, that we'd just take this opportunity and this technology, Lord, and we just pray that we'd use it to better ourselves and to better this group. And Lord, just pray that you'd give us the knowledge and the wisdom that you would have us to know and to have, and pray that you'd be in this study, and I just pray that we'd grow closer to you each and every day that we live, and I just pray that you'd be with each prayer request that's on the forum, and be with each prayer request that's in our hearts tonight, Father. And we just thank you for everything that you do for us, the life and the health and the strength that you give us, and the technology that brings us together. All of these things we ask in your name. Amen.
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 Welcome, Snake.
Welcome, Snake.
James 5. James chapter 5, verse number 1. It says, "Go to now, you rich men, weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. Your riches are corrupted, and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver is cankered, and the rust of them shall be a witness against you, and shall eat your flesh as it were fire. Ye have heaped treasure together for the last days. Behold, the hire of the laborers who have reaped down your fields, which is of you kept back by fraud, crieth. And the cries of them which have reaped are entered into the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth. Ye've lived in pleasure on the earth and been wanton. Ye have nourished your hearts as in the day of slaughter. Ye've condemned and killed the just, and he doth not resist you. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter rain. Be ye also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. Take, my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering, affliction, and of patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye've heard of the patience of Job, and ye've seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. But above all things, my brethren, swear not, neither by heaven, neither by earth, neither by any other oath, but let your yea be yea, and your nay, nay, lest ye fall into condemnation. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth a sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death, and shall hide a multitude of sins.
Evening, folks. Where are we at?
James chapter 5. Honey, welcome.
Thank you, sir.
We have just gotten started.
Welcome, honey.
Thank you. Did you already have an opening prayer?
We did.
Man, I just walked in the door. I just missed it. Darn it.
You'll be here for the closing prayer.
Amen.
All right, James chapter 5. I know we just have finished reading. If you want to start looking over there and someone start us off with a thought.
I didn't catch the first little bit, so I don't know exactly how yours read, but I like in mine it kind of breaks down what they mean by the rich. I know a lot of people think that, you know, the Bible talks bad about the rich a lot, and it talks about how bad it's going to become them, and, you know, they're doing the wrong thing by being rich and this and that. But here it kind of breaks it down for me what they're talking about with the rich. It's not just talking about people that have money, excuse me, because just because you have money, you know, you might use it the right way, and that doesn't make you, I believe, the same rich that they're talking about here. Because here it talks about, where'd it go? You have heaped up treasure in the last days. That, to me, that means that, you know, I don't, you're just stockpiling money for no real reason. And then it says, the wages of the laborers who moved your fields, which you kept back from by fraud. So, you know, you had employees, but you didn't pay them, and you gave them a lie as the reason to why they weren't being paid. That's the way I see that. So, to me, it breaks down the negative side of the rich that they talk about a lot.
My NIV actually words it as, you have hoarded wealth, and, you know, hoarding is never a good thing to look upon.
Yeah, and something to kind of go along with that, you know, it's all right for us. I think we should, you know, plan for the future. But I think so many times we get caught up in planning for the future that we kind of lose track of where we're at today. And I guess what I mean by that is, you know, we should plan for the future, but we ought to live today, you know, like this could be our last day, because it might very well be. So we need not we need to not lose track of what we are and where we are and what we're supposed to be doing, even though we do hope to be around a long time.
I think to go along with that too, you know, it's great to plan for the future as long as the future continues to have God in it. I think sometimes we start doing well and our plan for the future changes. You know, when we're not doing so well, our plan includes God, and then all of a sudden we start doing well and our plan changes to where we feel like we're doing it on our own all of a sudden, and it's not Him blessing us anymore.
Well put, perfect. I see that all the time. Right, and then when things get bad, like they say, there are no atheists in a foxhole. That's when they want God the most. But it's in those good times, you need him just as much.
You know, I heard a prominent Christian talking on Dr. Dobson's show one day, and he was explaining that, and he's very, very extremely wealthy, but he's we all know that you're only wealthy or poor because, well, I guess you could be poor because you've put yourself there, but usually you're in the place that you're at because the Lord has placed you there, or unless you've made poor decisions. But this guy started doing really well, and he said, "I'm gonna, Lord, I'm going to make that commitment, and I'm going to give you the first fruits every time, all the time." And he started off with a tenth. And then now he's to the point now where whatever his business is, he's so successful in making money that he now gives 90% to the Lord and lives on 10% because that's how much the Lord's blessed him. And I think that's a great testimony to what Blue, I think, said earlier, that as long as your heart's in the right place with your wealth, it really can be a good thing.
Right, I'd heard that before. I don't remember who that is, but I'd heard that before. But my late grandfather, which was my pastor for 25 years of my life, he would always say that you can't outgive God. If you first of all, if you're gonna give, you need to give from the heart, not just give to be seen or to be noticed or give for recognition or something like that. But if you give from the heart, you can't outgive him. It'll always return to you. And I've seen that many, many times. You can give a lot and God will return three or four or five or maybe even 100-fold. You just can't outgive him.
I agree wholeheartedly. The one thing I would say to that is, the kind of the name it and claim it faith out there. They're trying to talk people into giving all they got so that God will give you if you give. You're dead on with having your heart in the right spot, and also lean on him to lead your giving, because he'll appropriate it exactly where he wants it.
Mine said there in verse 8, to be also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. And the patience is something I have a bad time with. I just don't have any patience. But I was looking at the establish your hearts, and I just wonder. There's a world full of people, and certainly here in America, there's a country full of people that claim to be Christians, but I just wonder how many hearts are actually established and set in that Christianity and that faith and that belief. And I just wonder, what the number is that's actually established, or against the number that's just making a profession.
The other part that stands out to me, that's just after that verse, is that in Verse 9, it says, "Don't grumble against each other, brothers, or you will be judged. The judge is standing at the door." Not only am I lacking in the patience department sometimes, I mean, I have four kids, so I am fairly patient, but the grumbling part, goodness, I don't know about the rest of you, but I like to say I'm like, the biggest grumbler, and that's something that I'm really trying to work on.
I think everybody in the channel knows I'm a big grumbler.
What?
Yeah, but that was Buck. He's perfect.
Yeah, I don't know if Buck knows. I'm sure he does, but when you key up, your name comes up on my little screen here.
I like going on with that same section, Heine, verse 12, where it talks about, do not swear. And it's not talking about cussing. It's talking about just making, like total honesty is what that means to me. Just make your yes be a yes and your no be a no. Don't talk out the side of your head. And you don't have to, if you live that way, you don't have to say, "Oh, I swear it's true." Because your yes is a yes and your no is a no and everybody knows it and that's it.
Yeah, and it can get hollow. You hear people say, "I swear on my mother's grave." What is that? What does that do? I didn't even know your mom, so how do I know that you're being straightforward with me anyway? So, just being real and being not being full of duplicity in the Christian walk. Don't go to work and be one way and come home with your family and be another way. And I know a lot of guys that do that, and we're supposed to hold our brothers accountable when they're like that. I have notes at the bottom of my page. It's a study Bible, and on that grumble, it says don't grumble, and it's talking about James calls for patience toward believers as well as unbelievers, and that really sticks out in my mind that we are supposed to hold each other in our faith accountable, but we cannot expect unbelievers to act like believers. It can't happen and it won't happen. And I think all of us are guilty of expecting the world out there that's such a fallen place to not lie to us, to not cheat us, and to not steal from us when they don't have the same Savior. Pardon me, they have him, but they have not accepted him, so their lives have not been changed.
Roger, one thing that's always stuck with me is Dad was, I guess, still fairly young in his Christian walk, and he had a good friend that, I mean, it's a good guy, do anything for you, but he just hadn't accepted Christ as a Savior, and he would talk to him and witness to him, and he told Dad one time, he said, I bowl in a bowling league in the kind of the next town over from us over here, and he said I actually bowl with some members that go to your church and name who they were. And he said, when we're over there at the bowling alley, he said, they talk the same that I do, and they act the same that I do. And he said, I just would like for you to tell me what the difference is in me and them. And, I've often thought about it, and I honestly don't believe there is any difference. I guess the biggest witness we have is the life that we live. And if we're saying one thing out of our mouth and living something else out of our heart, something's wrong somewhere.
I can't remember who coined this phrase, but he's a famous teacher of the word. I cannot remember who it is right now, but he would say, "I believe in the assurance of the believer, and I believe in the non-assurance of the make-believer." And I believe in our churches we have a whole lot of make-believers, or people that haven't actually made that transaction yet, that claim that they have, but there hasn't been a change of heart yet. And I do believe those are the ones that we're supposed to hold to a higher esteem. I mean, they're claiming to be Christians. They need to, we don't want to come across as a bunch of grouchy old fuddy-duddies. Christ was fun. We can have fun, but we need to be careful not to look like the world when we're doing it, or act like the world.
But you guys, I think verse 16 there, mine says, "Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." And I think it's a hard thing to do, to confess your faults. It's hard to admit them, but much less actually come out and confess them. But we've all got faults, and none of us are perfect, and we all certainly fall short of the glory of God. But the praying one for another, I've often said that if we'd really do as the Bible told us to and pray one for another, if we were all praying for each other, then we wouldn't have to spend so much time praying for ourselves, because we'd have all of our Christian brothers and sisters praying for us. But
I agree, that's kind of the whole mantra behind the United States military. They're all watching out for each other, so not one of them has to watch out for himself, because he knows that the guy on his six, guy on both sides, they're all taking care of him. He doesn't even have to worry. And I think that's very true, Scooter, that if we were all holding each other up in prayer. First off, I don't know about you, but I'll actually have some stuff going on, and someone will say, I've been praying about that problem for you, with you, or for you, and I've actually not felt it, but I guess I can sense God's presence in those times when you really, maybe you're not even praying for yourself, but someone else out there is going to bat for you.
Yeah, I've experienced that myself. One time in particular, I was having a revival over in the next county over. It's about, 40 minutes to drive over there. And of course, I work full-time and then try to pastor too. And I think it was like a Tuesday night or something, we'd had revival that Monday night. We'd had a real good service, and I don't know, Tuesday just everything just fell apart at work, and nothing was going right, and it just, the devil hit from every side, top, bottom, every side and every angle that he could, and I happened to look at my clock or my watch or something, And it was 1 o'clock on the money. I mean, it was 1 o'clock and 0 seconds. And I just kind of felt a peace come over, and things started going better from there on. And I got to revival that night, and we had a good service, and I didn't mention anything about the way that the day had started or anything like that. But this old man come to me after the service, and he said just felt like I needed to tell you something. He said, at 1 o'clock on the money today, said the Lord laid it on my heart to kneel down right where I was at. Said I was outside in the yard, and said I just knelt down and prayed for you. He said I have no idea what the deal was, but he said God told me to pray for you, and I just prayed for you. And I couldn't do nothing but just hug his neck, and I told him some things that was going on, and that's just stuck with me, how that, you know, God will lay something on your heart. When he does, he wants you to do it right then. And I've often thought about that. When God lays something on my heart, if he tells me to pray for somebody, I try to just stop whatever I'm doing. If I have to pull over on the side of the road or whatever it is, just stop right then and do it, because you don't know what that person's going through or facing at that time.
You know, there's a lady at my church that, along those same lines, it always drives my wife crazy, because she thought that this lady was a busybody. She's always over in the corner praying with somebody, and my wife's not totally on the same road that I am yet, but she said, you know, it always bothered me that she's doing that. And then one of her girlfriends said, oh, well, the reason that she does that is that she made a decision a long time ago that instead of saying, oh, yeah, I'll pray for you. And then, you know, I mean, those just seem like hollow words a lot of times. People tell you that, and you're like, yeah, sure you will. She said the same thing that you're saying right there, Scooter. She said, I made a decision that when I tell someone I'm going to pray for them, we're stopping right now. We're going to go over and find us a corner, and we're going to bring it to God. And it changed my wife's whole thinking on her, you know, and just, she said, wow, you know, I really respect that about her. I thought she was just being a busybody. So, same lines you were just explaining.
I find that I've done that a lot. We have a prayer list at church that I read through every Sunday morning. You know, people will give me names of people that are sick, or maybe families that's lost a loved one or something like that, and we read their names off. And you know, I find myself maybe Monday or Tuesday trying to think about what those names were and can't think of them. And of course, I can go back and read them off my list again, but you know, I just wish that I would take more time to actually listen to the name and try to, I guess, inscribe it on my mind to remember to pray for it. But it's just like you said, a lot of times it's just kind of a hollow thing for me. I'll forget all about it, you know, and fail to pray for it, and that's just a failure and a fault on my part. Welcome, Penguin.
Thanks.
I was just gonna say, I have a note here. I have a note here for verse 19, where it's, you know, my brothers, if one of you should wander from the truth and someone should bring him back, remember this: whoever turns a sinner from error of his ways will save him from death and cover over a multitude of sins. The notes there, it says the wanderer is either a professing Christian whose faith is not genuine, or a sinning Christian who needs to be restored. So just like we were talking earlier, that, you know, the one who's out there faking it, the one who, you know, I can't judge those gentlemen's faith, but the guys that are out there bowling that look a lot like the world, you know. A lot of times they are just, they're no different than the world, like you said.
Any other thoughts? Alright guys, I appreciate your presence and your participation and involvement in the Bible study. And I look forward to this time. The last couple of weeks I've fallen asleep before Bible study time and haven't made it, but that's nobody's fault but mine. But I just appreciate you being here tonight. Look forward to next week already. But we'll be dismissed in prayer, and I'd like to ask Heine if he wants to or would like to dismiss us in prayer.
If I could hold that for just a sec. I do have a praise/prayer request that I forgot to mention. Monday? I think it was Monday. No, Monday was Memorial Day, so it had to have been Tuesday. I was headed to work. Had put my daughter on the bus. Was headed to work. Had no idea that a friend was following me. Came up to an intersection. Bus was coming to that intersection, and some strange roads over here. Right away isn't real clear. A lot of it's defined by the bigger vehicle. Some of this problem is the road has actually changed. Years ago, the turn in the road was the main street, and the street I was on wasn't even really existent, but it's actually straighter. So I'm coming up to this intersection. Bus is coming down around that corner. So I stopped because I didn't perceive the bus stopping. My friend, who was following me on his motorcycle, perceived the bus stopping and me going, and he wrecked his motorcycle trying to avoid my rear end. Praise that he was okay. He laid his bicycle or his motorcycle down. Thank God he wears all his gear. He got up, stood up. We got the motorcycle up. I waited for him, asked him, are you okay, and this and that. Followed him home. He parked his motorcycle and drove his van to work. The rest of the story, he said the only thing wrong was he felt like he pulled a muscle in his arm. So that's the prayer request, that he is just a pulled muscle and everything's okay, and that he will continue to be smart and wear his gear while he rides his motorcycle in Korea, at least.
Amen.
Amen.
Sorry, it was a lengthy one.
Amen. No.
Any others? All right, honey.
Heavenly Father, first off, I accept this as a huge blessing that I'm able to show up here tonight, and that you keep my family safe down in town where they're at. I was able to come and hang out with my brothers here, and also honored that I was asked to say the closing prayer. Father, I've been a proud member of LSG for a long time, and I just thank you for all of these brothers and sisters, and for the times that we all get to spend. It's a highlight to my week. even though my weeks are so busy and I don't really get to get on the site or anything, I really do look forward to meeting all these guys. So thank you for each and every one of them. Thank you for bringing us all together this evening. And Lord, on that praise note from Blue, I do thank you that gentleman was smart enough to wear all the gear that does protect you when you're out riding one of those dangerous motorcycles that are so fun. Thank you for bringing him through it and pretty much unscathed. And Lord, I just ask that you would help that cost of getting that bike back together again. If it was ruined, that would be orchestrated also, that he would be able to get back on there and enjoy it again. Father, I thank you for bringing each and every one of us here this evening and for the weekend that's finally arrived. And Lord, I wasn't here for all the prayer requests, but you know what they all are. And you know the spoken and the unspoken ones. I thank you for the time that we do have to spend with you, and that we can come and do it freely. And it's not something that we have to be afraid of doing. A lot of countries are not so fortunate. Thank you for the freedom that we have in that. Father, I thank you for sending your son to die for each and every one of us, and for raising him up to prove that you are God, and that you are worthy of our praise and of our worship. And thank you for that day that we'll all see you again sometime and be taken up in glory with you. I'm excited about that day. Father, thank you for all that you do. I ask that you just bless this rest of this weekend and the week coming up. Take us all to and from work and wherever else we go safely. And just thank you for everything, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Amen.